All right. Well, interesting coincidence that our first guest on the program was Elizabeth, and we're ending the program with another Elizabeth. So pleased to have Elizabeth Adler on the program representing UConn Extension's Master Gardeners Program. She's the Hartford County Coordinator for the Master Gardeners Program, and we are going to be reminding you of an imminent date coming up, October 17th, which is the deadline for applications for the 2026 Master Gardener Program, and we're going to be telling you why this program is so critically important and why you should be part of it, no matter what your interest in gardening is, because once you're done with this program, folks will be flocking to you for resources, and we hope you'll consider being part of it. We also want to remind you that the Fairfield University's School of Education and Human Development is hosting a free panel discussion about something that is probably impacting all of us these days, even by the hour. The program's called Anxious America, Mental Health and Healing in the Era of Anxiety. It's coming up next Monday, September 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Dolan School of Business Event Hall. This event is going to bring together cross-disciplinary experts to examine the impact of anxiety and explore how educators, healthcare and mental health clinicians, families, spiritual advisors, and community partners can respond with empathy, strategy, and systems of care. If you'd like to go, it's free. You just need to register at events.fairfield.edu. Or just get out in the garden, right, Elizabeth? That'll cut the anxiety factor down, right?
That's one of the best part of it. Absolutely will. Yes, being out in the garden is a wonderful way of relaxing.
And I have to assume that you've been getting your hands dirty for quite some time. I bet you're an avid gardener.
Yes, although I had to take a break from gardening for many years, but I grew up in an amazing garden that had been in a house that had been owned in the early part of the 20th century by a horticulturalist who had worked at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. And wow. It had all sorts of really wonderful and amazing plants, unusual plants, rare plants. And I think that was probably where I learned my love of gardening. But I didn't garden for many years, and it's only within the last 5 or 6 years that I've had my own garden to work on.
Hmm. Well, in terms of your involvement with the Master Gardeners Program, you've advanced into management.
I guess so. I'm a coordinator.
Let's hear about your exposure to the Master Gardeners Program and a little bit about your experience with it as you became trained to step up to this level of expertise.
So I took the Master Gardener Program in 2003 because I was interested in learning more about gardening, as I said. Now that I had my own garden to work on, I wanted to get more knowledge other than my basic familiarity with a lot of plants. And I took the course in 2003. It had both a classroom portion and a volunteer outreach portion. And there's extensive horticultural training about all sorts of things. So not only about plants, but we learn about soil and water and entomology and so forth. And then you get to put much of your learning in practice during the internship as you share things with the community. So I did that, and it was a lot of fun. I learned a tremendous amount, and I did enjoy the community outreach portion a lot. And when a position opened up a couple of years later, I applied for it and became the coordinator for Hartford County.
That's great. So the thing that's incredible about this program is that it not only pays dividends to each master gardener who comes from it, those dividends ripple effect out into the communities where they live and work and where they participate in sharing their passion and their skills.
Absolutely. Educational outreach is a huge component of the Master Gardener program, as it is for all elements of extension. So it's intended to be service-oriented, and Master Gardeners work to bring information about gardening and horticulture and the environment to the community where they live. So people can volunteer at community gardens or garden clubs or publicly accessible parks.
Traffic
sites.
Islands, right?
yes, yeah. Side of the road. So it's very much intended to be involved in the community rather than just, in fact, that's an essential component of it, is agreeing to do volunteer work as a way of paying back for the education that you received. You share it in the community. You do that through two mechanisms. There are outreach projects where you can give talks or work in the community, and there are office hours where you answer questions that come into the office.
Mm. Well, I don't know how many colleagues and constituents that you have worked with who have gotten into supporting some sort of municipal effort that has really, for lack of a better term, blossomed into something really incredible in the towns and cities across Hartford County. But once in a while, folks get into really major, high-profile and far-reaching support projects that really beautify areas of the community that have a sustaining beauty due to their involvement.
Yes, that's true. So we have in Hartford County, some of our projects involve working at Elizabeth Park, at the Mark Twain House, at the Stowe Center. Master Gardeners have been involved in creating a pollinator garden at the Hillstead Museum. In addition, there have been a lot of involvement on dealing with invasives and increasing pollinators in various areas. So we have the Peace Pole Pollinator Pathway, which is a native flower garden effort in Canton. And there is the Collinsville Pollen Trail that started out as a way of tackling Japanese knotweed, which is an invasive and is really turning into this amazing resource for pollinators and for humans. And also we work on food shares. There's the Enfield Common Grounds Rotary Garden, which was started about 10 years ago, which provides harvest for Enfield Food Shelf. So there are all sorts of projects that we're involved on that provide service to the community, both beauty and food.
Yeah. Well, for folks who are listening that might want to experience this depth of education and greater opportunity to apply it to giving back in their community or in a location that is seen by many folks from many communities, they need to get involved with the program. It starts in January, but the deadline to register is looming. It's coming up on Friday, October 17th. So folks need to get their applications in. If they're hearing something that's inspiring them to consider applying, could you run down the bullet points of some of the most important things they need to know about the commitment and how the actual training curriculum works?
Sure. So as you said, the program starts in January, and the beginning of the program is a classroom portion. And that runs from January through early May. And there are a series of topics that we cover. And each topic, the material is available online, although classes are intended in person, except for Litchfield. And I'll return to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. And each topic consists of 3 or 4 hours of online education that are to be completed, and then you come in to the class and hear a lecture. Classes meet once a week from 9 to 1, as I said, from January through early May.
Mm-hmm.
Following the classroom session, there are a couple of exams intended to make sure that you have retained and learned the various information.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've passed the exams, you move on to the outreach portion. And that consists of volunteer work, where in order to complete the internship and be certified as a master gardener, you need to complete 30 hours of outreach. That's working in various community-based projects, mm-hmm. like the ones I was talking about earlier, and 30 hours of office hours, which can either be in one of the extension offices or at various tabling events, like Earth Day fairs or farmers markets, where you're at a table and people can come up and ask you questions directly.
Hmm.
So that's the basic rundown of the requirements.
Very good. And people can go to mastergardener.ucon.edu for all the details and application materials. Once again, the application deadline for classes beginning in January is in a couple weeks, Friday, October 17th. So please consult mastergardener.ucon.edu for backup and information. And of course, you can imagine a lot of resources are poured into making you a master gardener. So of course, there is a requisite for a tuition, so to speak, a program fee of $495, but I'm sure, Elizabeth, you have heard from many people that it was the best $500 they ever spent.
Oh, many people consider the program completely life-changing. Just the exposure to that environment and all of the knowledge gained and the experience of working with the community and helping people and doing outreach. I think many people think it's the best $500 they've ever spent.
And in closing, what's the latest way that you've been applying your expertise that you learned from becoming a master gardener around your own gardens that you started and became passionate about, so long ago?
I actually haven't had much time for my own garden this year. This is my first year as a coordinator, and I've immersed in that.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate the time this morning and sharing your experiences and promoting this important program that we've had the pleasure of having on the program many, many times over the years, Elizabeth Adler. She is the Hartford County Coordinator for the UConn Extension's Master Gardeners Program. Once again, a deadline to apply for the 2026 program is October 17th. The website to go to is mastergardener.ucon.edu. The UConn Extension Master Gardener Program is an educational outreach initiative, part of UConn Extension, and it's been around since 1978, making Connecticut a more beautiful and environmentally healthy place. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for your time today.
Thank you, John. It was a real pleasure speaking with you.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.